It's just going by fast, like faster than usual. And at first I just thought like, okay, well, you know, I hit 40 this year. Well, in 2022, I was like, maybe that's what it is. You know, my kids are getting older. I'm busy. You know, maybe it's just like, okay, time is just kind of, it seems like it's moving faster. But really, I'm like, no, something's going on. Because if you look outside, normally in January, as of, you know, 3:45, 4, it is pretty much dark, right? 4:15, yeah, it's dark. Now in January, it could be 5:15, and it's still light outside. It's still a little light. It's getting darker, but it's not the same as January's, you know, the previous January's. So I started looking into this, and it's called the quickening, right? So make sure you go and check that out, research it, read up on it. Again, the quickening. And we're not crazy. Time is actually going by faster than it was. So anyways, that's just a sidebar. But okay, let's get right into it. Now, I have so much I want to say. First thing that I want to start off with is how, you know, I'm really tired of Quebec. I'll say Quebec not respecting Black athletes, right? I'm going to say also Quebec not valuing the contributions that Black athletes, Black artists, you know, that we bring to the table. Now, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about a lot of things surrounding PK Subban, but I think we can all agree as melanated people that the way they treated him was disgusting. Okay, I don't even think that's up for debate. I think we can all acknowledge that. Now, TVA Nouvelle came out with an article. Okay, now this article came out following the ceremony that the Montreal Canadiens had to honor Subban, right? I mean, he was a great athlete. He has integrity. He's always been about the people. And I mean, I think it was honorable that they, you know, they had that ceremony for him. Now, do I think it's too much, too late? Yes, I do. Absolutely. But I think it's still a nice gesture, right? Now, here is PK Subban being celebrated in Montreal. Rightfully so, might I add. And TVA Nouvelle comes out with an article following that ceremony. Now, I'm going to read to you guys the title, right? So the headline of the article, I'm going to read it in French and then I'll tell you what it is in English. So it reads, Piqué Subban n'a pas rempli sa promesse d'amasser 10 millions de dollars pour les enfants malades. Now, what that translates to in English is PK Subban did not fulfill his promise to raise $10 million for sick children. Why would that be the headline of an article? I do not see TVA Nouvelle headlining such negative titles and subjects for white people, for white athletes, for white artists, for white politicians, whatever the case is, right? But they felt it was appropriate and necessary to really use the headline after a ceremony that was held to honor PK Subban. This is what they chose. PK Subban did not fulfill his promise to raise $10 million for sick children. I'm disgusted. I'm appalled. And I'm mad. I'm not going to lie. I'm really upset because I don't understand how, even up until now in 2023, they do not put respect on our communities, right? And when I say communities, I'm speaking about every type of melanated community you could think of. They do not put any respect on our name. And for me, it's aggravating, it's problematic, and something has to change, right? This cannot be acceptable. So anyways, let me know what you guys are thinking about that. You know, speaking about putting respect on our names. Okay. We're going to have to talk about Gala Dynasty, okay? Now, I know that all that concerns, you know, arts and entertainment. Kaya brings you guys the information on that, and she's doing an amazing job at it. But I just want to speak to you guys concerning Gala Dynasty to give you guys some perspective, okay? Now, first off, Gala Dynasty started off because the other galas, like, for example, Gala La Disque, right? usually do not take Black artists into consideration, right, in their categories for their awards and whatnot. So Ganat Dynasty came about because basically they want to bring forward Black artists, you know, journalists, videographers, you know, et cetera, so forth and so on in mainstream media, right? AKA white media, okay? This is why Galat Dynasty came about, which is an honorable cause, right? Because I think it's a necessary. Now, I had a problem with Galat Dynasty's functioning when they held a gala, right? And unvaccinated, melanated Black people were unable to attend, right? So I'm like, how are you going to be advocating for Black empowerment and then turn around in the same breath and say, well, if you're unvaccinated, even if you're Black, you can't attend? To me, that's problematic because you are segregating unvaccinated, melanated people while screaming, respect Black people. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It doesn't go together. It doesn't make sense. So anyways, I had a problem with their functioning on that. And they just came out with the artists that are nominated in, you know, each respective categories. And I want to draw your attention to the category of artist or musical group in the Anglophone category, okay? Now, there's five nominees, okay? Mackie Lavender, Audrey, Eve Jarvis, Nate Husser, and Zach Zoya. All of them amazing artists. I'm not taking nothing away from the artists at all, right? I know Eve Jarvis, although he has a French name. He was born in Calgary, right? Nate Husser, we all know Nate Husser, you know what I mean? He does a lot for the community. He's an amazing artist, a stand-up Black king. I absolutely love me some Nate Husser, and he's a very dope artist. But I want to draw your attention, actually, I'm just going to get right to it. Mackie Lavender, who is a great artist as well. However, he is a Haitian-Canadian, right? Meaning Francophone, right? I don't understand how he is nominated in the Anglophone category, right? I understand that he's a bilingual artist, meaning he does, you know, songs in French and in English. I'm not taking that away from him. I just think it is problematic that so many French artists are nominated in the Anglophone category. It comes back to putting respect on our community's name. You know what I mean? Put respect. Give us our fair due. There is a category for Francophone artists. Why is it because someone does an Anglophone song that now they are able to be put in the Anglophone category when there are hundreds of Anglophone, and I'm talking Anglophone, right, artists who are not even considered? And it's problematic to me. I understand that Quebec is a French province. I get that. But at the end of the day, we are part of Canada, right? Quebec is not a country, okay? Yes, I understand we need to abide by the laws and regulations of Quebec, which is, you know, French dominates over everything. I get that. But at the end of the day, if there's going to be a category for Anglophone artists, can we please have some Anglophone people that are nominated? I'm done. I'm annoyed. And you know what? I don't think that things are going to change until we make people respect our melanated community, until we make people respect our Anglophone community, right? So anyways, that's that on that. Don't even get me started, y'all. I am annoyed because I know so many talented Anglophone artists that work hard, that put their blood, sweat, and tears into their music, and they are never considered. And it's just problematic to me. Now, I'm going to end this talking about the WEF. As we know, they are currently having their yearly shindig, right? And, you know, there's so many things going on. But there's one thing that I just want to draw your attention to because I just think it can be problematic, right? Now, we've been seeing, actually, how things have been changing since the pandemic started, right? You know, everything is online. you know, a lot more communication done virtually, right? Which has a lot of positive points to it, right? But there's also a very big negative point to it, which is you're removing the human touch from humanity, right? A lot of studies, a lot of scientists, a lot of specialists, a lot of psychologists, a lot of neuropsychologists, a lot of, you know, pediatricians, family doctors, have been kind of ringing the alarm. Like, hey, something is not right here, right? Because they're noticing how children, their behaviors are changing, right? It's not the same. We can even just, you know, take a quick moment and notice it now. Do we see as many kids playing outside as we did when we were younger? No, we don't, right? That started before the pandemic, but it was, you know, it was really accentuated with the pandemic, right? Now, the WEF, Schwab, was basically saying how he wants, moving forward, that leaders, right? Global leaders. So, you know, head of countries, you know, politicians, etc. He wants them to really use more the metaverse. And he said that even though, yes, there are some studies that, you know, are kind of saying the metaverse is, you know, bad and, you know, we have to be careful with technology and yada, yada, yada. He was saying how it really needs to be prioritized, because he feels that communication through avatars makes communication easier because people are able to detach a little bit from who they are as a person, present themselves as the avatar, and communication can be more fluid. Y'all, listen, if you have to get to the point to say that communication through an avatar is more effective and can allow a person to be more open and transparent in their communication, that is something we really need to take heed to. Because one thing that I'm realizing is that whatever happens at the WEF and whoever is down with the WEF, aka our Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, they bring that back to their countries and then they implement it and it becomes a thing, right? So we have to be careful with this because we do not want, we don't want to become avatars. And I know it sounds far-fetched what I'm saying. And, you know, listen, an avatar is cool. But even when you look online, people posting pictures are not even posting real pictures anymore. Everything is Photoshopped to the max, filters to the max. And, you know, at a certain point, this is what we identify with, right? People are uncomfortable posting pictures online if it's not Photoshopped. It's problematic. It's really problematic. I'm just kind of ringing the alarm. Y'all let me know your perspective on it, okay? I could go on and on, but I'm noticing my time is done, y'all. I'm wishing y'all love and light. Make sure you chime in with me on Twitter at Tammy Tuesdays. I was banned, but I'm back because Elon values freedom of speech. So I will continue to give you guys, you know, perspective, information. Make sure, again, follow me Twitter or Instagram at Tammy Tuesdays. I want to hear what you guys think. I want to hear what you guys have to say. And more importantly, I want to have a conversation. I think that is the most powerful thing that as humans we could do, is to have a conversation and deep dive down these rabbit holes. So on that note, love and light, y'all. Peace.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby.
Yes, listen, you guys are always giving me one on this show. I really, really, really love this show. I have to say, like, anyways, this is my segment, Kaya's Jambalaya, and I'm so happy that y'all could make it. Pull up a seat because I'm serving it up hot today. As you know, I like to switch it up every now and again and just talk about some different things. But so I think it was Oscar Wilde. Yeah, Oscar Wilde said, art imitates life. Mm. And the observation that a creative work was inspired by true events based on a true story. I recently was looking at some information and just, you know, you just put stuff in your, as Gina was just talking about before, you put some stuff in your search bar and all of a sudden this was coming up in your algorithm. But I came across some information that said that the story of Winnie the Pooh represents different mental disorders. And I did not know that before, but when I looked at it, it is exactly that. So Winnie the Pooh had an eating disorder, and was his disorder was impulsivity. Piglet was anxiety, frightened. Roo, autism. Kangaroo had autism.
Yeah,
tiger. Tigger.
No, yeah, but wait, Roo, the kangaroo. He wasn't OCD.
No, Rabbit was OCD.
Ah, right. It's true. Yes. Rabbit was OCD.
Right. Tigger had ADHD.
Right.
Eeyore is depression.
Wow.
Kanga is social anxiety.
Wow.
And the owl is dyslexia.
Oh my gosh.
Remember?
Yo.
So I'm going through some stuff and I come across this.
Talk about I was today years old. Shit.
Well, that's the questions that they ask. How old were you when you found out that each character in Winnie the Pooh represents a different mental disorder? And it jarred me.
Mind
because as children, when we're watching this, some of us can relate to certain characters. Oh, that's my favorite. Winnie the Pooh is my favorite. Eeyore is my favorite. How could Eeyore be your favorite?
He's
sad all the time. There's something that they can recognize in it and they love. It's like, oh my God, I feel like that. Mm-hmm. And if you, I'm feeling now like I want to take Winnie the Pooh and play it for all the kids around me and watch them and take notes on who loves what, because I'm like, this is a great way, a genius way to figure out who's going through what's happening.
Yeah. I want to watch it for myself. Damn.
Thank in the instance that they say art imitates life, I am now watching things with a different eye.
Mm.
By the way, it's 10-10, make a wish.
Okay.
When I went through it, I said, you know, I have seen a lot of other movies where they had subliminals or were just hinting at different things, but never so boldly have I seen it etched out afterwards that this was indeed what this was about. They would say, oh, maybe it could have been, it was put in loosely enough that you couldn't attach it to anything, but this is undeniable.
You're right, yeah.
And it made me start looking for some other things because I was riding in my car the other day. And when my riders are in my car, I tend to listen to the radio more because my music just got way too many N-words in it. And if any of them ever decide that they try and sing the N-words out of the song, I might not be an Uber driver anymore.
Right. Talk about it.
Play it. And so I'm never going to encourage anyone in any way. Mm-hmm. So I put on the radio stuff that they can sing.
Right.
And this song keeps coming on and it's number one. I'm like, who sings this? And then I get some information from the people on the radio because they're talking about she's like number one, like since Halloween. But Taylor Swift has a song called Anti-Hero. Have you heard this song?
No.
Wow.
Anti-Hero?
So, Anti-Hero.
Okay.
And later on, that'll be one of the songs that you'll hear. So this song is what Taylor describes as herself. One of her favorite songs that she's ever written, but she says that it's written about all the bad parts about her. She goes into detail about what she feels like are her personal failures in this song. She also does, she released a behind the song video, which discusses the meaning of it. But even though I can, it's like I can hear so much more in it. And I am intrigued by the song.
Should we give it a listen?
We should give it a listen. And I'm going to just read out a couple of the lyrics to you so that you understand where I'm coming from. So I believe that the song Antihero was written about a person who is bipolar or people who are bipolar.
Okay.
And she says, I have this thing where I get older, but never wiser. Midnights become my afternoons. When my depression works the graveyard shift, all of the people that I ghosted stand there in the room. I should not be left to my own devices. They come with prices and vices. I end up in crisis, tale as old as time. I wake up screaming from dreaming. One day I'll watch as you're leaving because you got tired of my scheming for the last time.
Wow.
And I feel like, along with some of the other lyrics that are super, super deep, I feel like what she's describing is what a lot of people who are bipolar actually experience.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just never feeling like they can get it right. Everyone's always mad at them because of the way that they operate. And they are a lot of the times aggressive, verbally, physically, and it's a lot to deal with. But I feel like this song represents them in down to what they feel like people feel when they're around them or think about them. And in the end of her song, she says, I have this dream that my daughter-in-law kills me for the money. She thinks I left them in the will. The family gathers round and reads it. Then someone screams out, she's laughing up at us from hell. And then she says, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. She's like, everybody agrees. At tea time, everybody agrees. It tripped me out when I read the lyrics to this song and I sit and I listen to her. I cried my eyes out because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is what people with bipolar are experiencing. So when I say that art imitates life, art truly imitates life.
Mm.
We gotta definitely give Taylor Swift that listen, because my girl hit the nail on the head, and she is going to, she's so innovative. Anyways, we know that this is what she does. And you know, Taylor Swift is actually known for writing songs about her ex-boyfriends, but they call it actually being Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Serious.
Yeah. If you date someone and then you hurt them and they write a song about you, you've officially been Taylor Swift, because that's what she does. She writes a whole album about you and you be in trouble in the media.
I end up in crisis. I wake up screaming from dreaming. One day I'll watch as you're leaving, cause you got tired of my scheming. All its meaning.
up at us from hell.
What? What does it say?
It's the worst.
But who got the beach house?
She's having it turned into a f***ing cat sanctuary.
What? Cats don't even like the beach.
What about the rest of the assets? I flew all the way here from Ibiza!
To my children, I leave 13 cents.
No! Wait, you guys. There's probably a secret encoded message that means something else.
Yeah, that's what Mom would always do. P.S. There's no secret encoded message that means something else. Love, Taylor.
Okay. Great, well, good job, Chad. You finally pushed it too far.
What are you implying by that?
I think she's implying that you haven't hesitated to trade on Mom's name.
Excuse me?
Do you not remember your book, Growing Up Swift?
And your stupid podcast, Life Comes At You Swiftly, which I'm pretty sure you're recording for on your phone right now. Chad, come on!
Chad.
Okay, well, why don't you go cry about it at the country club that you name-dropped Mom to get into, Preston? And Kimber, you're literally wearing her clothes right now.
No, I'm not.
That's from the Fearless Tour 2009.
Okay, well, you know what? We were very, very close, and I miss her.
They were so close.
Okay, I'm just gonna say it. I think she killed her.
You've gone too far! Hey,
Kimber was the last one with her! She didn't fall off the balcony! She was pushed!
No!
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Kai, you just put me on to one. Like,
hell of a song. There's another one too, but I'll talk about that next week. Right now, I just got two more little somethings because I'm like, Chad, we got to get into this. So, Lil Boozy got a daughter named Poison Ivy.
That's the child's real name, Poison Ivy?
This is her rap name.
Okay.
But the little girl can't be no older than 11 years old. Raps her behind off. When y'all get a chance, go online, go and check it out. It's all over the net right now because she's gone viral. Check out that little lady.
Poison Ivy, got it.
Yeah. John Legend and Chrissy Teigen named their newborn baby Esti, and Quebec Twitter lit up today.
Esti?
Esti.
Like SD, like
how we, I come SD,
right? Like how we saying, yeah,
SD,
yeah. That's funny. Why would they do that? Why?
You know, sometimes that I'd like to think that they didn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess.
But is SD the F word?
Like, it's sacrilegious, if I'm not mistaken. In Quebec, it's like, you know,
how about Nak is sacrilegious?
I always associate them together.
That means cursing on the tabernacle, but right. Esti Tabernacle Nak.
Yeah, but I thought it is a general curse altogether. Like you're cursing the I don't know, man. I'm a French person on here. Clarify that.
Well, I am. I'm looking into this a little bit further because I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to keep you guys posted. But Canadian Twitter, Quebec Twitter went crazy this morning in the fact that they named the child SD. Now, I'm sure there was all kind of jokes about it, so I will be bringing it back to you guys because the people are like, nah, you got to be joking.
Yeah. Right? We should ask Tammy T. Tammy's our in-house translator. She would definitely be the one to tell us like the real what is SD. Big shout out to Tammy again. Great segment, by the way, Tammy. I'm with her. Tammy deep diving about COVID and just being able to ask questions. Like people need to be aware and just reminding people that they need to go and just double check themselves. Make sure that you know like their health is optimal right now. All right.
Yeah, so legend has it that they also had a twin and named him Tabernak. You know, this is
stop.
This is why to be more. They said The middle name is Carlis.
Stop it.
Here's the best. Here's the best. That's my sister's name.
Your sister's name is Carlis?
His name is Carlis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she got that a lot. Wow. She got that a lot as a child, let me tell you.
Poor
team. Yeah. No. I think she might have had the fight, actually fist fight a couple of times. Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Your parents need to be mindful, man, because the names carry power. The names have meanings. And I took the safe route and I had my children name themselves telepathically. So that's all my children have their names that they came with. Like I intend trends. Yeah. I every one of my children, like I've always put out an intention. I intend to name the child their name. And then I just kind of relax and let it come. And they always do. All the children have their names. Like they are their names. Like, and when you look at their characters, when you look at what, like, yeah, straight down from Huey, Phenomenal, and Nzinga. And their middle names match their, like, the middle names are, we took African names that are associated to their days of birth as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, there's, yes, pretty deep. But that was a safe route for me, letting the children name themselves.
Yes, that is dope. I love that. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that we actually had this conversation, because now I'm thirsty for knowledge. You're going to have to tell us more about this one day. Because I'm sure more people would like to know about this this process, because this is very important in not giving your child the wrong name, because they say there's something in a name. And if you can give them the name that they're supposed to come with, you can almost guarantee that they'll be prosperous in what they do. But if you give them some screwed up name, you know, sometimes this is what happens. And they say there's something in the name. Yeah, like, you know,
it's fact. And by doing that, the process that I implement, it's like I'm also acknowledging their life. I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm aware that they're conscious, even though they haven't fully come out of the womb yet. I'm fully aware that they are understanding me. I'm understanding them, and we're communicating. So there's many levels to it. It's a great bonding opportunity as well.
Okay. And I love this. So I just Googled most common name for serial killers.
Oh, geez.
And this is why you have to be careful, because the child is supposed to be named Romerical, and you have named the child Alan, Harold, Russell, Daniel, or Justin. And now you're walking around here slapping cats into walls. So,
Oh, shoot.
Okay, call it.
Okay, disclaimer though, people who have those names, we still have love for you. We're not saying you're serial killers. Kai, we need to disclaim these things. You can't just serial killer, list out a bunch of names.
They listening to this show and they've been listening long enough, or whoever put them on the show, you don't take nothing I say personally.
Facts.
I partake in the SQDC's pot. So
the finest of the SDQC's, whatever.
Blame it on them. So this is Kaya's Jambalaya coming to you live and fresh, serving it up hot. And I can't wait to see and hear from you guys next week.
Hey, everybody. I'm Gina the Great, a.k.a. Miss Politically Correct, a.k.a. The Devil's Advocate, a.k.a. Big Liar in Energy. And this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes.
Have you guys ever heard of Jennifer Hostin?
Negative.
No. Well, she's my Black Facts for today. So the first woman to win Miss World is actually an island woman. They say
island woman. So, what?
Mm-hmm. No one asked. No one asked.
Okay.
No one asked, UP. So on December 3rd, 1970, amidst global racism and tensions between the Black and white communities all over the world, Jennifer Hostin, a 22-year-old representative of Grenada at the 1970 Miss World pageant, made history when she won the coveted crown. She became the first Black woman to be named Miss World, overcoming challenges the show had experienced then. The 1970 Miss World ceremony is marked as one of the most controversial in the history of the pageant since it began in July 1951. Prior to the event, there had been a lot of debates about the number of Black women in the pageant, as well as the fact that South Africa had sent two delegates for the pageant, one white Miss South Africa and a Black Miss South Africa. An even greater controversy then followed after the results was announced. Jennifer Hudson won, becoming the first Black woman to win Miss World, and the Black contestant from South Africa was placed second. The BBC and newspapers received numerous protests about the results, and accusations of racism were made by all sides. Four of the nine judges had been given first place votes to Miss Sweden, while Miss Grenada received only two thirds while receiving the most overall points. Miss Sweden, who was favored to win, finished fourth. Furthermore, the Prime Minister of Grenada, Sir Eric Gary, was on the judging panel. Okay, there might have been a little favoritism there. Although there were judges from several other countries which also took part in the contest. There were many accusations that the contest had been rigged, but 4 days later, the organizing director, Julia Morley, resigned because of the intense pressure from the newspapers. Years later, Miss Sweden, Majory Crystal Johansson, was reported as saying that she had been cheated out of the title. Sure. Well, Miss Johansson, suck it, because Jennifer Hudson won it fair and square as far as I'm concerned.
I gave up a lot for that.
It's like, too bad, so sad. Too bad, so sad.
And don't get me wrong, and I don't want to disrespect what she did for our history, but the whole pageantry of Miss Worlds and all that, I don't get it. I'm not gonna shit on it. Because, I mean, obviously there's a whole line of people who really, that's their life and whatnot. But the representation of women in there is a little off for me. However, this year, was it Miss Universe or whatnot? I believe one of the themes was coming out in your carnival theme, like representing your country. So there was a lot of great representation that we saw, especially with the island women, especially Trinidad, Tobago, the Virgin Islands. They all came out with some really nice costumes that was reminiscent of carnivals. So I appreciated that cultural part. Miss Jamaica, too, came out with some fire, too. So I definitely appreciate it.
She came out as Nanny. Came out as Nanny of the Maroons. Trouble. Just saying it. She looked so royal. I was just like, oh, wow.
Yo, I want to see what you guys are talking about. Where is this? Is there something I could check online?
Yes, you can check it online, considering that you're on your social media purge. But just, Kai, do you know if it was Miss World or Miss Universe?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. You know, I'm terrible with the names. My cousin won Miss Jamaica, and I don't know which one she won.
Well, you can either Google Miss World or Miss Universe, and I think it's Miss Universe. I don't think Miss World exists anymore. Okay. But just put carnival pageant theme, and I'm sure it'll come up.
Perfect, thanks.
Because there was a whole thing, too, about when people came and presented themselves in their country, and people were just like, Grenada, Jamaica. And then France came out, I was like, France?
Oh.
Yeah, so that was on the timeline for a hot minute.
This is who we're presenting, and presenting the people who robbed them every year.
Every year, right? So let's get into some motivation. So last week we started off with a list of some motivation, a motivational list, and I gave you the first three. So I'm going to give you the next three points on that. So number four is, books are mental masturbation. I love reading. I love learning. But too much reading and not enough doing is just like binge watching YouTube. Read, apply, repeat. Number five, you need to be selfish. You can't pour from an empty cup. I'm going to repeat that. You can't pour from an empty cup. So be selfish, fill your cup first, and then you can be selfless and pour into others. And number six is, the gym is preparation. In the gym, your mind is telling you to quit the whole time. By not quitting, you're building your mental fortitude and resilience and preparation for life. Now, we can interchange gym for whatever, right? Like if you have something that you do with sports, a discipline, whatever discipline that you're doing that you're kind of like, I got to do this for my better health, but you're kind of dragging your feet, interchange that for that and, take that into account, that it's a mind gym, and it helps you stick to what you can do, what you should do, what you want to do, and what you want to achieve.
Disciplines. Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm going to talk to you guys a bit about what I was watching this week. And then I'm going to ask you guys what you watched too. But I came across a show called All the Single Ladies. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
It's brand new. It's only got like 3 episodes out. It's on the OWN network. And it's speaking to single women, or not necessarily. It's speaking about women, about their relationships and what brought them to becoming single from a said relationship and from different perspectives. There's a disclaimer at the beginning. It talks about how this is obviously one side of the story, but I found it interesting because already in the first three, I mean, the first episode was talking with women who were actually divorced. The second one was talking about more so women who were in relationships and you know, that didn't work. And then the third episode was interesting because it was all Black women who actually dated outside of their race.
Ooh, interesting.
And, like, yeah, and had like a whole conversation about that. And I say women, usually it's about 3, maybe 4 women per episode. And it was interesting how for some it was like either a deterrent, for others it was like they never expected to fall into it, and it just happened. And like their advice was just like, find somebody who loves you for you, regardless of their background. And others was a catapult to being able to find their right person, right? So it was some really interesting stuff that I got into watching. And I'm the learner in me. And I had my little moment of speaking with a lot of the men in my life to have an understanding of how they perceive love and all those things. So that person in me found this very interesting, a very interesting show to watch.
This was on what network?
OWN. The Oprah network, OWN, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think I have that one.
I mean, there's different channels to go around and finding, and I think it's built by OWN, but you can probably find it on different things. I think you can find it on Prime, depending on what you have. Anyway, there's a few.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The name of the show again is what?
All the Single Ladies.
All the Single Ladies. All right, cool.
Yeah.
I might be interested in checking that out.
Yeah, I think it's a great perspective to hear on both. And who knows? Maybe they can come out with All the Single Men too. That would be a nice little counterpart to have to hear both sides of that story.
Right.
Is there a thing as a single man?
I mean, yeah.
Yes. What do you mean? Men are single. We're hurting too. I'm a part of a collective of brothers, and they. Yeah, they talk about things all the time. They want to be loved. There's some single men out there that's trying to do good. It's like there's men out there who are just tired of being hurt by these women. There's all kinds of things. Yo, there's vulnerable men out there just like trying, shooting their shot, and you know, like unfortunately, it seems like the nice guys like they don't win often. It's so sad. Oh, what is that? Mini violin you're playing, Kaya? You playing the mini violin?
The thing is, it's gotta be.
Huh?
It's got to be the real nice guys, because you know there's a faction of men out there who are just like, oh, I'm a nice guy, and if you reject them, and they're just like, well, you beep 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 beep, you ain't nothing but a beep.
Start
beep.
As nice guys until
exactly.
Anyways, let me stop. You know what? The nice guys are always either taken or ugly. So,
oh man. You see
okay,
what
so
I
what
mean?
Y'all watching? Okay, what are okay. you guys watching?
It's funny. Actually, the only thing I really find myself watching these days is just a whole bunch of random stand-up comedy on Netflix. Like,
oh,
I just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's on a regular basis. That's what I take in the background.
Do you have some tops?
Yeah. Because it's unfortunate. No. Like right now. Okay. Well, what's his name? Joe Coy. Is that his name?
Yes. Yes. The Filipino. Yo. Yeah.
Yes, he's my guy right now. He's so damn funny. But aside from that, it's like Netflix is smart because they're doing this thing now where it's like a bunch of like mashups, you watch one episode and it'll be like 10-15 different comedians and little snips of each. Oh my god, I'm loving it.
I thought that was only on YouTube. So they actually on the Netflix panel they have the compilations.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's right. And they're smart because after you watch the compilation, then the next thing on your feed is the whole series of each one of those comedians you watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll be watching my algorithms and stuff like that. They see what I'm into. Yeah. So that's it. Like, I've just been, just again, keeping my spirit high, Watching a whole bunch of comedy. That's
you said something there about algorithms, because I told you guys last week I was watching some Korean shows, and now all of a sudden my whole page is Korean shows.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be wrong. But I was like, I watch different stuff too, guys. I like them, but now my whole page.
No, they're doubling down on you. They're doubling down. They're like, oh, yeah. You like this? Here, more of this. But yeah.
Yes, only this, actually. Not just more of this. Only this now.
Right.
Kaya, what about you?
That is crazy. So I am watching Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm watching Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Reserving judgment.
I have resorted to Ratchet TV.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the reason why one would watch comedy like that. It's just like the soul just needs a little.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
And I just feel like I haven't been around my U.S. family enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are our own Love and Hip Hop. I can tell you right now, they are not ready for us. The TV is not ready for us. I could swear, no lie. Right. But yeah, I'm watching Love and Hip Hop, and I am going through the motions with these people, watching the different stuff that they're going through. A lot of divorces in hip hop right now. I didn't even know that there was that many marriages in hip hop. So watching it now, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, these are real people. And I always say this, but it's not until you just, you know, you sit down and actually watch them for a second. And Erica Mena ended up saying something on the show, and she was like, I honestly could not write this. This is a script you can't even write for all of the things that this man has put me through. And for those of you who are listening, Safari is her now ex-husband. But I'm watching them go through this thing, and he doesn't care. He gives zero F's about anything. No, he doesn't care.
Zero F's. That's a kind of like that. Is that a term? Can you coin that?
I mean, right? It's not a new term, sir, but okay.
No, it's zero
not
a new F's? Term. Okay.
You know, got the rest of the letters behind it usually, but yeah, I can't say it because it's daytime radio.
Yeah.
So, I could not believe. And soon as the woman challenged him about anything, he's like, I want a paternity test. Like, what? What kind of
disrespect?
Listen, she sent him, she had him served on the show, and they go and get Shekinah to do it. And Shekinah hits him with the papers, and he signs his name as hell yeah on the divorce papers. I'm watching him. I'm like, wow, bro, this is crazy. And then a week later, he has the papers actually fulfilled and gets a girlfriend that is his ex-wife's exact lookalike.
Stop it.
And brought her to an event. I'm over it. I'm in there getting my little dose of ratchet.
Yeah, but...
I need that. So we're not cringy. Ratchet enough here. We're not ratchet enough here. We're like, we're kind of bougetto.
And, yes, I'm an aristocrat.
You know what? And I'm an alley cat. And my nan used to say that she gets along with both the aristocrats and the alley cats.
I'm there like, because everybody wants to be a cat.
Medium, your healthy medium.
Every time I say that too, I think of the, because I don't know if you guys watch Aristocrats when you were kids. Everybody wants to be a cat. Yeah. All right. So, social media gone wild, guys. If I say Hunter Biden, what are you thinking?
Crack videos.
I'm thinking, who is that?
So at first I was thinking, who is that? But then of course you have the name Biden. Well, it's obviously Joe Biden's son.
Oh.
Yes. Crack
that one. On crack?
Well, I don't know if that pertains to this story, but he's asked an Arkansas judge to block his 4-year-old daughter that he had with a stripper from taking his last name.
Oh.
Correct. So.
Damn.
Yes. So apparently the child's name is Navy Joan, and he does not want Navy Joan to have the Biden name. He wants to block it. At first he denied the child. He said he never had relations with the woman. Obviously they did the paternity test. Hunter Biden, you are the father.
He didn't remember. And,
right. And the baby mother is saying that, you know, the name is synonymous with being well-educated, successful, financially acute, and politically powerful. So she wants the best for her child.
Yep.
And the future and the weight that that name gives the child. And inherently, Hunter's trying to say like, oh no, she's going to get teased for that name. But no, that's just because you're trying to hide your, I don't want to say mistake because no child is a mistake, but your transgressions. Yes.
I'm trying to understand, like, so it does the name, I think just by just logically, the name would go with the child, because I, at first, I was like, well, maybe it's a thing where the name comes with marriage, but no, that the name comes with marriage is for your wife, so to speak, or whatever. And that's if she so chooses or whatever, but no, from when you have that child, that's your child. That child bears your last name.
But actually, historically speaking, in the olden times, and not that old when you speak about it, because considering that's what happened to our parents, P and I's parents, is that they used to have their father's name, and when they migrated to Canada, because our grandparents weren't married, they had to revert back to her name, and even down to it actually is really not that long ago, because even for us and our generation, I'm not saying that it was law and or legal, but the three eldest of the children kind of have like different last names, because for my sister, my parents weren't married yet. They were married with me, so I have both their last names. And then when my next brother came, he only has my dad, because my dad's like, well, you know, our older daughter only has your name, so he has my name. We, all three of us, have different complexions and different last names. I don't know what they were thinking. It was the 80s. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Drugs, but historically speaking, historically speaking, if you weren't married, you carried your mother's name, because you can always... Because the rule of thumb was you always know who the mother is. But in this case, right. And there probably wasn't paternity tests and stuff like that to be done at that time. Whereas if you were married, regardless of what, because you had, married, you had to take the responsibility of the household. So whether that child was yours or not, it was your responsibility.
You know what? I don't want to go off your topic, but I find it's like, I just find people's disregard for human life is weird. Like, because like that child, when she grows up, is going to be like, man, like this jerk really tried to like disown me. Right. Like, and it's like, are you not considering that?
But I don't believe he's not going to be involved in her life, clearly.
But still, like, it's just, I don't know. I feel like the karma of it. And it's making me think of a conversation I had with a guy last week. And it was kind of weird. But it was like, anyways, long story short, we were looking at something that seemed a little off key. And I was like, I wonder if I should go, like, you know, intervene. And he's like, why? You don't know her, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but the situation seems a little odd, you know, and his whole like demeanor, it upset me a little bit, because I'm like, if that was your daughter, your niece, I'm like, that's what you want. You want a person just to be like, yo, F that person's life. I'm like, so just because you don't know him, I'm like, yeah, and you know, and the person happened to be of a more melanin deficient, you know, complexion. But I'm like, so I'm like, so just because I'm melanin, I'm melanin dominant, but
no, we're humans first, period.
Yo, that's it. We're
people. And the whole part of that is the fact that we want to get to a world where it doesn't matter
exactly
what your skin color is. Like, we're fighting for that now because we don't have that equality. But the whole point is to get to a place where we can just be looked at as humans, period. And for you to have an issue for him to be so disconnected, he's part of the problem.
Talk about it. That's what I'm saying.
Ultimately, that's telling me that had the child been perhaps a more, as you said, melanated skin, would he start feeling more towards that? He'd have more empathy towards that. But then that's the same apathy that non-Black people have towards Blacks. Just take that in.
Talk about
it. Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I watched something, and I think did we speak about this, about the what white people tell their children to do when they get lost? Did we watch this?
No.
Okay, so I watched. I was watching. I'm gonna remember his name. I'm gonna tell you, but he told a story like, white people tell their children that if they get lost, they said to the little girl, "What do you do if you get lost in public?" She said, "Find a big Black man and tell him that I'm lost, because statistically you are less likely to be abducted by a Black man than you are their own people.
Wow.
And tell their children, maybe not a Black woman, she has her own children, so she may not, she might be like, oh, I can't right now, but if you say it to a Black man, he will definitely protect you.
Wow.
To where you're supposed to be.
Well, the thing is, though, I'd say the Black woman would be just as ferocious with protection as well, because you know how we do. Mm-hmm. But whether we have kids or not, but like, mm-hmm.
there's volumes to that. That speaks volumes, though, like, on so many levels. Like, anyways, I'll be deep diving over the next couple of weeks, like, as I'm talking about this new era and this new level of consciousness. So we'll have time to talk more about that.
Perfect. And normally I get into what y'all had seen, but I'm gonna have to scurry on down to, I have a question for you guys actually, because this is, it's social media gone wild adjacent, but I had a question because I came across it and I wanted to ask you guys. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have a partner who is a millionaire and cheats, or loyal and broke?
Loyal and broke.
Millionaire and cheats. They be cheating for free, child. Mm-hmm.
Nah, and I'll take the opposite. I'll take loyal and broke.
Just loyal and broke, huh?
Yeah.
Because you're a man, because, you know, yeah. Most men wife be their little broke best friend. I get it. But as a woman, it doesn't work that way. You ain't come. No. Let me tell you. A man is what he could do for his family, is what he does for his family. That's how a man is defined, whether we like it or not. And if he's not prepared in that way, I don't even want to venture out with him. So you go ahead and do what you got to do to get your jollies off. You come in here with that money, you write that will. That's what you do.
I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that honesty and that real, because you're like, and it makes me think of the households that will have like one man and multiple women. The women like who live that are very comfortable with it. They have, it's just like, yeah, he's providing, he's taking care of all of us. Like we're fine with it. You know, like the opposite might be weird.
You see this, so-
right? Right. That's
so
it.
I have a question, because I already knew that was where I was gonna answer. I already knew it before I asked it. Exactly. And so I want to ask, I'm gonna adjust the question for you then. You and your wife, this is hypothetical, obviously, are nice and loyal together. Mm-hmm. And then a millionaire comes to your wife and says, hey, I'm gonna give you fill in the blank amount of money for one night. What amount is that for you to be like, yo, you're doing this for the team? This is a family thing.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. There's
$0.
No doing it for the team.
So
no doing it for the team. That
not like, 100,000,
bro.
Half a
what's 100,000, bro? You spend that no
half
time.
A million. You putting your kids through college,
bro?
A million.
Bro,
come on.
Yeah, like I'm completely destroying my relationship. Whatever it costs, my relationship is because
it's not just, emotional.
It's not happening. It's going to be so weird. Like I cannot. But it's a very good question, though. Very good scenario. But it's just that in my particular reality, it wouldn't fly. Maybe other men and women would be like, yeah, ain't no thing. And maybe even when you talk to Shai, maybe she may be like, ah, you know what? Hey, I'm just saying for on my side. I couldn't. It's just, it's not, there's no amount of money. And just because even the way I see money, I see time more valuable than money. Right. So it's just like, no, I'm not down for any sense of thing. No sense, no dollars.
But that's okay. Well, Shai, I'll talk to you later.
Yes. Good. We'll report back. The show might start different. It might start with a...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I grind, you grind, and sometimes we need to ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great.
Kings and queens, this was the Empower Hour with Pharoah Freeman, Queen Kaya, and Gina the Great. We are on live every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. and broadcasting Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment.
Make sure my levels are at around 8.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's kind of a tongue twister.
Am I popping my peas?
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Start again.
Oh, should I do that? Okay.
I need a script.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
So, you want me to go through it again and actually say that?
This sounds so repetitive.
See, now I can't do it. Once more, okay.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, do you want me to say hello?
I'll
have to do another one.
Yeah, maybe one last one.
Radio CKUT 90.3 FM.
Are you recording? You are? Oh, Can you press stop?
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.